One, two, three, four. Just another day at my dead-end profession. I've lived day to day. Yeah, listen to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
You're listening to the Jared Podcast. I'm Ryan Shores. With me, as always, is Dave Callens. And on the soundboard, Robert Timothy.
Glad to be back here, guys.
And speaking of back here, very excited. This episode, we have original cast member from the very first episode of the Degenerate Podcast, January 2013. Holy shit, 4 years ago, Mr. Julio Jacobo, everybody. Welcome back.
How's it going? Thanks. It's good to be back here, back at home.
You're kind of like Richie's brother from Happy Days. Like, Richie had an older brother for the first episode.
Yeah. No, he's like Dan Severn come back to call a current UFC bout. Now, we are going to get into the weekend we recorded the first four episodes. We actually recorded four in one weekend.
Wow.
At a hotel, right?
At a hotel in Hollywood. A really bad one. Like, we pretty much found the worst one we could find and rented out the top floor of it. And it was awful and fun, and we're going to get into it. You can actually still hear those episodes. They're in Reverb Nation.
You rented out the top floor of a motel to tape the Degenerate Podcast?
Yeah.
Wow.
There was a lot more of us. Yeah.
There that seems like, classier back then.
Ironically, when you started out, you had a much bigger budget.
Well, no, we all rented our own rooms. It was a very small motel, so each of us renting a room like pretty much accounted for the entire top floor.
And scared out anyone else who you didn't
account
for. Yeah.
Dude, speaking of bad hotels in L.A., just random, I went to see Joe Rogan on New Year's Eve, and we were going to stay the night just because New Year's Eve, we don't have to drive back home, so we were looking for hotels. Everything was booked. There was one hotel that had a vacancy, and it turned out to be the hotel where that chick died in the water tank.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, in the water tank?
Yeah.
Did they ever find out what happened with that?
Well, I think she was on mushrooms. Like, if you look you look at the tape of her, she totally looks like she's on hallucinogens in that elevator. Like, she's on X, she's on something, she's got some kind of hallucinogen going. And then she climbed into a water tank, because you know what? We all want to be the Animaniacs when we're on mushrooms.
That's right, that's right. Who doesn't want to go for a swim on drugs? I know I do. She found out there was no pool and was furious.
My favorite thing is when you watch those shows that try and make something into a mystery, and they're like, but the real question is, why in the world would she go into a water tank? And I was like, oh, well, obviously you've never done mushrooms, because that sounds like a fucking great idea.
Even just being really drunk.
Yeah.
I've been like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to climb that roof. I'm scared of heights, so I'm going up there.
Wait, I could swim in a pool above the city?
Yeah. Oh, they can drink my pee?
Yeah, you could be stone cold sober and just bored.
Right.
Yeah. What's in here?
Yeah. Yeah. Why would he ever do that? Dude, because I do a lot of stupid things.
Scrooge McDuckett? Just jump
in there. Yeah, Scrooge McDuck.
All the gold coins.
I want to mention this. Me and Dave were over at the Comedy Store on Wednesday. I was trying out some new shit. Dave was hanging out. And in the lobby of the Comedy Store, much like most comedy clubs, the walls are lined with those 8x10 black and white headshots of
floor-to-ceiling portraits.
Yeah. Of old-timey comics from the 70s and 80s. Now, when I first started doing stand-up, when I'd go into the Comedy Store or any comedy club and see those, I'd be like, wow, history.
Oh, yeah.
Look at this proud lineage I'm now a part of.
Because especially if you go to an older club like the Store, some of those, the dates on them are like 1968, you know? And like you're like, wow, this is amazing. This is Letterman back when he first started, you know?
But the thing is, most of stand-up comedy is just waiting around to do your set. Yep. That's like 90% of it. And when I'm waiting in these clubs like Looney's or the Store, and I'm looking at all these pictures, I'm like, I started to think like, I don't know most of these people. Yeah. I've never heard of them. I've never seen them in anything. Like, I wonder. And then I made the biggest mistake I could possibly make. I started Googling these people to see what happened to them.
Right.
Here's a little tip. If you're in a comedy club and see those pictures, do not Google any of the names, because there's a 9 out of 10 chance it'll bum you the fuck out.
Oh, yeah, for like, sure.
I was in there with Chris Curtis. He used to work there, and so he used to get bored and do this, and so he was showing me like his best of, like, oh, check out what happened to Snappy Buttons over there, or whatever. And so, like,
what was the best story?
So, for one thing, I'm Googling these people. I'm like, okay, what happened to Johnny Asparagus? Interesting. It seems that even after the child porn charges were dropped, he still chose to hang himself. Okay. And like, I'm going through, and you know, the thing is, none of them are particularly crazy stories. It's just like, dead, dead.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Dead. And the thing is, I know these guys are in the 80s, but these are not elderly people. Like,
right.
They're still 15 years younger than your parents.
Right. Yeah.
And they died a long time ago, too. And I think the most disturbing part about it is when they didn't die of an overdose, or they weren't drunk and, you know, wrapped their Maserati around a fucking telephone pole. They just, like, keeled over, and then no one could figure out why. It's like comedy's curse. Like, this guy was just, like, 48. He was sitting around for the 100th time waiting for the phone to ring for his agent to tell him, like, whether or not he got that walk-on role in Roseanne, and his fucking soul couldn't take it anymore. He went, yeah. And they just found him between the flower pot and the couch, just fucking dead.
You know what you really have to watch out for? It's not the guys who died in the crazy ways. It's not the guys who died in the normal ways. It's the guys who aren't doing comedy anymore, but are just like the laid-back, regular insurance salesperson. Successful guy. You're like, what did you do? You were undercover comedian. What happened?
No, those guys.
You're a sociopath who's pretending to be one of us.
Yeah, those are the anomalies.
No, I didn't find one guy that
got out of
the game.
That's what I'm saying. That's why it's scarier.
Yeah, no, and the worst, I think arguably the worst, is when I find out guys who, again, I've never heard of, but are still alive. Like, I found like one or two. I'm like, oh, finally, fucking Duke, he's alive. Let's see a current picture. Ooh, he looks like he drinks. So,
it's like the old chicken-egg debate. Does comedy attract tragic people? Or are tragic people just better at comedy? Because there's so much of that in there.
Well, Chris Curtis did show me one of his favorites. It was this comedy duo, and the picture was taken in like the early 80s, late 70s, where they're dressed like hippies. He's like, okay, so check these two out. They're a team, and apparently like being like aged hippies was always their shtick, where they're making fun of hippies, but meh, it's a thing. Well, they tried to make a comeback, and they popped in here to the store, and they're like 70, and they're still dressed like that. And they just come on stage and start dancing and like going into the audience and like picking people out to dance with and like taking their wallet and start throwing their credit cards around. And like this is all they have.
Yeah.
This is part of my theory. This goes back to a larger theory I have in about life in general, which is shit was just way easier back in the day. We always go like, oh, they don't build them like they used to. No, we build them way better. Yeah. In the 1950s, we always go, those cars in the 50s, they were pieces of shit.
they were flammable coffins.
They were gas-guzzling pieces of shit that were literally designed, and this is according to GM's manifesto, they were designed to last 3 years. Could you imagine sitting in a 2014 Honda Civic and be like, well, this bitch is just about dead. Like, they were designed to last 3 years. They had pointy knobs sticking out of their seatbeltless dashboards just to impale your face when you went in it. Shit sucked back then. Like, everything. I think there's just a decline. So we look back and be like, what are these hippie comedians who just ran around and danced on stage and ran around the audience? That's how horrible stuff was in the 70s.
Yes.
That was great comedy. This was entertainment.
That's the other thing. Is like, a lot of these are sad stories, like you're saying, Ryan, but there's also that small percentage where you recognize a photo. You're like, oh my God, that guy has his picture on the wall?
Yeah.
I saw him once and he was fucking horrible.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, as I was staring at this, I'm like, dude, comedy, I'm like, comedy's cursed. I would hate to be one of these guys. And all of a sudden, as I'm thinking that, I hear, your next comic, Ryan Shores. I'm like, oh, that's right. Shit. Those things just bum me out. And some of them, like, you don't even want to Google them. When I was at Looney's in Colorado Springs, I'll never forget this headshot. It was of a guy dressed as a policeman, and he had a legit policeman outfit. I don't know if he was a policeman,
right,
or maybe that was just his shtick. Were all the jokes about being a cop? I had so many questions that I was afraid to know the answers to. Another thing about Wednesday night, we were piggybacking, so every comic, well, there was no host, every comic was introducing the next one. And I think it was Dave that introduced me to the girl that was going directly before me.
Yeah, I didn't know Shores was going to be there. I just went there to hang out. And so we're looking at the list, and a girl who I know, a comedian, is like, hey, do you know who Ryan Shores is? I'm supposed to introduce him. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Quick side note. Do you prefer that or not prefer it?
What?
Piggyback versus
host? Oh, I don't like it at all.
I hate it, and I'll tell you why.
Please.
There's nobody in charge of the audience.
Right.
You need a host in charge of the audience to either bring the level up, or like if people are getting rowdy, calm the level down, deal with anybody who's – you need somebody to reset, be that taste of water in between wine tasting.
Yes.
And kind of settle everything and get the crowd.
I always say that the host – you have a host on a comedy show for the same reason you have ginger on your plate when you eat sushi. It's to cleanse your palate.
To be like, what the fuck is this for?
Yeah, well, yes, ostensibly.
And to try and flick into your friend's eye while they're not looking.
Yes. So anyway.
Oh, that's wasabi.
You're ridiculous. Here's why I hate it is because I'm so in my own head trying to think about my jokes and get laughs that I'm not thinking about the next person. So 9 times out of 10, I go, thank you, good night. And then the mic just sits there sad and alone for a minute. And then I come running back on stage. Sorry, your next comic coming to the stage, my very good friend, Chris Curtis.
Plus, you're going to have to remember some random credit.
That's the other thing is...
When people ask you for a credit...
You're going on the stage with this routine in your head. You're trying to think of your beats, your tags, where you want to hit it. Ooh, I'm going to do this weird thing with my hand this time on this joke and stuff. The last thing you need is some random person named Jeff Gallop, the giraffe comedian. Yeah. I'm coming. Like, you don't need to remember
something. You know about my memory and my thing with names.
That's right.
Like, I've literally been like, I'm like, all right. Jim Thompson, Jim Thompson, Jim Thompson, Jim Thompson. And then I get up there and I'm like, well, your next comic on the stage, I'm like, was it Tom Jimerson?
Or the other side of that is as you're doing your jokes, you're supposed to be thinking of your set. And you're like, and then the bouncer said Jim Thompson. You got to keep repeating that fucking thing in your head.
How many? I can't tell you how many times I've just been like, your next coming to the stage. And I just looked over and went, I'm sorry, dude. I don't know your name.
He looks like he might be black.
But just like without a host, it just seems less professional. Yeah. It's just like one guy after another, like, oh, I'm done. Here's another guy.
By the way, you can get a host at the Comedy Store for free.
Yeah.
And so anyway, she says, do you want me to say anything about you? I went, no, just get my name right. And that's cool. As she's up right before me, I realize who she is. 1 year ago, I got drunk on Tequila Sunrises here at the Madhouse after my set. After my set. Never get drunk before my set.
That's a classy image right there.
Yeah.
Sure, it's pounded Tequila Sunrises.
Well, here's the thing. I hadn't had one in forever, and Erin was here watching me perform, and she comes back to our booth with a very tropical-looking drink. I'm like, ooh, what is that?
And she goes, Shores tucks a little umbrella behind his ear.
Yeah.
Like, oh. Well, it got there. And she's like, Tequila Sunrise. I'm like, you know what sounds great? That. And I went to the bar and ordered 50 of them. And so anyway, I'm watching the rest of the show.
I just realized Ryan's the consumer that every vendor wants. Like, ooh, that looks shiny. Give me many.
I told you before, the reason I'm able to amass a fan base is because I know what they're thinking, because I think it myself. So anyway, I was drunk. I was watching the show. Everyone was doing great. And then this girl, the aforementioned girl that would later open for me a year later, or go before me, I should say, she goes on, and her whole act is as it was back then. That's how I knew it was her. Is just weaving in the fact that she knows celebrities and how well she's doing, and like, yeah, so I'm touring right now, and with a little celebrity you might know as Brad Williams on a show called Mind of Mencia that's been off the air for fucking a decade.
I do like that she used the term. Little comedian, you might know.
No, that was actually Shores.
That was more me. But am I wrong about this? Like, it's basically not a joke. It's just her humble bragging for as long as she's allowed to be on stage. Am I right?
There's an element of that to it.
Oh, come on. You're friends with her, aren't you?
Yeah, I don't think she's. She's
fucking up her own ass the whole time. So she's basically trying to make a joke, but basically just humble bragging. That's how I see it.
Can I take a wild guess? I don't know who this person is. I don't know who you're referring to. Can I take a guess and ask, does this girl happen to be fairly attractive?
Yes, I'm
a girl. What a surprise! It's like I'm a fucking psychic. How could I have predicted this seemingly inconsequential detail about this person? Almost like they feel entitled to think that they are funny or otherwise talented based on their looks. Weird. Weird that I did.
Slam dunk, Bobby. Slam dunk. Going back to a year before, I'm drunk on tequila at the Madhouse. I've just done a very good show. I'm very happy. And she's on stage stinking up the place with her fucking shit. So all of a sudden, and I never do this, and the very next day, I woke up very ashamed. I was laying in the booth over there while she was performing, listening to her awful excuse for comedy, and then finally she's like, anyway, so I'm back on tour. I couldn't help it. I sat up and went, God damn it! Boo! 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 Like she was not even skilled enough to try and respond to my heckle. She couldn't see me. I was way in the darkness like a coward. Like a drunk coward.
It's a good thing you don't have a distinguishable voice.
Right. Right. So I was afraid of that when I met her. Like I was like, so hi.
She's like, if I ever see Christian Bale again, I'm gonna punch him in the fucking face.
Yeah, I was afraid she'd be like, I know that voice.
Yeah, she hears the voice. She's like, triggered.
So anyway, I just sat there. And then she's like, she was trying to steamroll over it. Like, well, anyway, so my celebrity friends came over to my house for a party. I'm like, God damn it, boo! And so I did it for about 4 minutes straight. Do you know how awkward 4 minutes of booing sounds? So anyway,
you're a dick.
Did
any of the audience know it was you?
I was surrounded by my friends who were all laughing because they didn't like her either. Yeah, I was getting encouraged by people around me, like, yes. Yeah, they were trying to egg me on to fucking yell more. But anyway, the next day I did feel ashamed because that's very...
You should never heckle. You should never heckle.
And it was a moment of pure alcohol-induced insanity, and I regret it. And I'm sorry. For what it's worth, all our listeners, I'm sorry. But at the same time...
He's crossing his fingers.
I just nod my head.
No, I'm sorry.
So, anyway, as she was about to bring me up, I'm like, what if she did remember? What if she was like, just played coy? Was like,
of course she remembers. She has fucking flashbacks to that on a regular basis. That was the worst time she had.
Well, her celebrity friends will get her through it. I'm hoping. Her touring schedule comes with a great therapist. Anyway, so I do regret that, but she brought me up, and she was really nice to me. And really, her being so nice to me was the worst thing she could do to me.
Yeah, it really is.
Because if she was a bitch, I'd be like, I'm glad I booed you. Recognize this? Boo! But she was like, hey, hon, well, it was great seeing you perform. It was great to meet you. I'm like, I'm a piece of shit.
I like how she used the Jewish mother tactic on you.
Oh, yeah.
I want to hear, since we have Julio in here, I feel like we're not utilizing a great resource.
Right.
I want to hear some amazing stories from back in the early days of the Degenerate Podcast.
Well, me and Julio go back further than that. We went to college together. Since freshman year.
Back when Ryan was getting beat up by fraternity guys for random reasons.
Hey, the beatings went both ways. They went both ways, man.
The reasons were never random.
Yeah.
You would just be booing them on campus.
I'd be falling around with a little sack of peanuts thrown at the back of their head. Boo this man, faux hawk.
Well, the craziest thing I ever saw in college probably was it was the beginning of our second year, and he's got a new apartment with our friend Bobby. And I go over there, like the first day they move in, or second day they move in, and I walk up, and he's on the second floor. He's like, oh, what's up, Julio? How's it going? And then he like grabs a beer bottle and just throws it down the balcony at some door. I'm like, oh, shit. He's like, yeah, those fucking assholes in that room, they gang raped some chick last night.
What?
They did.
So he's just, every time he finished the beer, he'd go out there and like throw at their door and say, fuck you!
Yeah.
So, can I make a suggestion that next time you skip the bottle thing and just call the cops?
Hey, this is campus justice here.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Explain that to 19-year-old Ryan Shores, who's drunk, by the way. By the way, 30-year-old Ryan Shores drunk booze people. So a 19-year-old was not much more mature than that.
It's a marked improvement.
Yeah, it is a marked improvement. At least I wasn't throwing shit at that chick. Anyway, guys.
So we're like inside playing like Mario Brothers with our friend Liz, who's like the most innocent, like nice girl ever. She's watching this whole thing unfold. And at one point, I guess they get tired of it, and they all run up. So there's like seven guys up on our floor, and I run outside, and Shores is there kind of like smoking a cigarette, just like smiling at them. And his girlfriend, Katie, at the time, she's like in the dude's face, like, fuck you! Go back downstairs! Fuck you, piece of shit! We don't want you up here! And finally, they all leave except for one guy, and he's like, in your face.
He tried to get in my face, and I wasn't having it.
Well, it's funny, because Shores is like smoking a cigarette, like blowing it in the dude's face. And then eventually he throws it at the guy, and the guy's like, oh, fuck you. And then Shores is just like punching him in the face. And then he goes in for a double leg, and he starts throwing him over the balcony. I'm like, oh, manslaughter, no.
So Julio held me back from throwing this guy off the balcony.
How many stories is this?
Two or three.
This is the third one.
Third floor.
Yeah, so he's going to die. He's going to die, for sure.
At very least, a hospital trip.
So I grab Shores, and I'm like, go back to your fucking room. Like, push him away. And I turn around, and all of that dude's friends have run back up the stairs at me. I'm like, oh, it's cool.
Yelled, I called the cops. I'm like, shit. And so I ran back inside.
Oh, my God.
I remember that dude being like, he assaulted me. That man assaulted me. And he picks up his tooth from the floor.
Oh, yeah. I punched his tooth out. Yeah. He's like, I'm using this as evidence. Exhibit A.
Julio, might I suggest this? Because anytime I hear seven dudes are running up the stairs at me, I immediately think, you actually have the defense.
Get on the ground.
Yeah. You have the defensive strength here. All you have to do is stand at the foot of the stairs and start stomp kicking dudes as they arrive up. Because you have the total of height advantage, and they have to come
one
at a time.
It's like 300. You got the hot gates. You just defend that little alleyway.
Exactly. You're at Thermopylae. monopoly. You just need to knock that first guy down against the other six, like dominoes.
Where were you 10 fucking years ago, smart guy?
Not gang raping people nor throwing beer bottles, so I'm good.
I don't believe either of those statements.
All right, I wasn't gang raping.
The postscript, didn't that chick like come up and try to like bang you as a thank you? Like,
yes, she did. She did.
All right, this story is really weird.
Yes, absolutely.
She did, and
nothing gets a girl super sexually excited like sexual assault.
Well, that's the thing, and I've talked about this before. Is that I do agree with you when you said you should call the police, and that was this whole thing was a very big changing point in my life, because when we heard this girl say I've been assaulted by these guys, we took her at her word,
right.
And we administered some vigilante justice, okay. As we saw.
There we go.
So I think that you could appreciate that.
Oh, dude, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying these poor guys getting beer bottles busted against their door. I'm more like, why aren't these guys in jail?
Right. Now, the thing is, a few nights later, like Julio said, and by the way, she was very attractive, and to this day, I did turn it down.
Uh-huh. Regret it.
Yes, she had the biggest boobs that I've ever seen in my life.
She's a very successful comedian as well. Yeah. She knows all the celebrities.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's like one of those like top four, like, why didn't you say no to that? But anyway, I just felt like I was being more chivalrous. Like, you know, I don't know what I did. But anyway, I noticed when she came up and tried to seduce me. She had a few drinks and was just like, yeah, that's fat. I'm like, and then I saw her at another party, and she was being very like, yeah, let's fat. And then the next day, she's like, those guys touched me inappropriately. I'm like, huh, okay. I may have punched a guy's tooth out very unfairly. And as you know this story, both of you guys, one year after that.
You had the similar thing happen to you.
I did.
Karma.
It was karma. It was absolutely karma. I was for the listeners that didn't hear this episode, the short of it was I was at a fraternity party next door to my apartment. I met a girl. We walked back to my apartment. As I'm keying into the door, her boyfriend with his boys comes rolling up because the doorman of the party saw us leave together.
You didn't know she had a boyfriend.
No, I did not. As we're walking in to go handle some man business, her boyfriend and his friends roll up like, what the fuck are you doing? And she immediately goes, he grabbed me. He forced me over here. I couldn't get away from him. Help me. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And I was beaten within an inch of my fucking life. And the thing is, I'm like, you know what? This is what I did to some other guy. Some girl That's lied. Right. And you know what? The thing is, I can't even openly tell this story because it's like, oh, so you're saying that women are lying when they report sexual assault? Some.
And statistically, you have to. I mean, we know as a matter of fact, some people do. We have things like the Duke lacrosse case. We have things like that fraternity case in Virginia. You know, it's certainly not nearly as much as people think when they're like, those women are just lying. No, no. It is very rare.
But it does happen.
But it does happen. And statistically, you have to understand that some people will be falsely accused.
Yes. And it's a very hot button issue, too. A lot of people will jump to, I'm going to get that guy, you know, because we have that in. We all have.
I'm going to knock his tooth out.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know,
throw him over a balcony.
Yeah, I'll throw him over a balcony. Boo! And I'll go to this comedy show and I'll boo him. But we have that id where, you know, we have mothers, we have girlfriends, we have wives, and we picture them in that scenario, and now the police is too good a punishment for that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, in our own minds. But after that incident that happened to me, and conversely what I did to a guy like that, about 2 years after that, some girl said, like, hey, I need you to teach this guy a lesson. He assaulted me. I said to her, if you feel you've been assaulted, you need to file a report with the police.
Right. And it's the best.
That's it.
By the way, that is the best thing anyway, because even me, a huge proponent of vigilante justice, the guy who never calls the cops, I would call the cops for that one, because the thing is, it's not just, hey, I'm going to beat the shit out of this guy. Even I'm really going to beat him up. Who the fuck cares if he rapes another girl a month later?
Like, right. Yeah.
To me, that's not real justice, because he's still out there being a predator. So, like, you got to get him off the streets type thing.
You got to kill him. You got the shitty end of that stick, because that dude, they ran a train on a girl. He got one punch in the face. You didn't even bang her and got shit kicked out of you.
That's true. Karma comes back times three.
Karma times
three.
It's either karma or witchcraft. I can't remember.
Same thing.
At least I get all my teeth.
That's true.
I do have that.
What other stories do you guys have from back in the day?
Well, going back to the earliest first episode of this show, the DeGeneres Podcast, the way it all came to light is that my manager, James Cross, was like, you should do some sort of recording, some sort of weekly thing. And I had never done any type of broadcasting before.
No disrespect, that sounds like when an audience member sees you perform, like, you should be on TV.
Yeah. That's pretty much
go do this thing.
He's like, people are creating their own content these days. He's like, he's always been a proponent of use the internet. That is better than any billboard or TV show.
Hold on, Dave, write this down.
Yeah. Wait, how do you spell it? Enter.
I-N-E-R-P.
You joke. But yes, so I do. Many people don't. So many. How many times have you heard a comment like, no, I don't fuck around with Facebook, man. I'm all about the art. I'm all about, you know, my material. I'm old school. I'm like, you sound like a fucking Catskills comedian saying, this TV thing will pass.
See, the flip side of that, though, is a friend of ours up in L.A., he recently got banned from Facebook for some post. I don't know what it was, but when he got unbanned, he posted, like, listen, whoever reported me, Facebook is my livelihood. I need this. I'm like, okay. Don't rely on it that much.
No,
yeah, like you can do other things.
There's many avenues. You don't have to just rely on Facebook, YouTube, everything. Like, there's so many fucking avenues. But anyway, when I decided to put this show together, first of all, we were, as I mentioned before, we were courted by a couple of internet radio stations, which I vehemently said no to.
Right.
I wanted to get some people that weren't stand-up comics per se. So I got Julio, my old boss, who some of you know as TV's Mark Francis. A guy named Normal Kyle, who I don't even know how I knew that guy. He was just a nice guy. Mike West, who was a comic with me, and my friend Will the Death Metal Jew produced it. He was an intern at Sony, so he could record it.
So wait a second. Did you just call this the Clusterfuck Podcast? Because how many people can you fit on the fucking mic?
Well, that's the thing. We didn't know. I didn't understand the concept of too many chefs in the fucking kitchen. So
also, was there a guy whose nickname was Normal?
Yeah.
Normal Kyle.
Normal Kyle.
It is not normal.
No, he's not.
Throw it out there.
You name me the successful podcast with more than four people on it. Name it.
Right. And also, I had done radio interviews as a comic before, you know, where I was just, you know, a guest for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was listening to shit like Adam Carolla and Joe Rogan, and I'm like, all right, there's no way this shit's on the fly. No way.
Yeah.
So we actually printed out stuff we'd say and, like, read it like a script, like, anyway, don't you hate it when I'm like, I don't think this sounds very organic. And so remember all the sheets we had? We were sitting around like, all right, Julio, you played Santa Claus one year. Remember that? So also, we filled this hotel room.
Because you did this at a hotel.
Right. We filled these. It was the Super 8 on Hollywood Boulevard next to a shawarma place. And
Super shawarma place.
Super shawarma.
Sounds like the beginning of the world's saddest country song.
No, it was the beginning of this world's saddest podcast episodes. We filled it with drugs, too. I had all these pills. I had Valium and Adderall. And at one point, Normal Kyle took one of each. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? He's like, I want to watch them fight in my system.
Bobby, drop in the audio clip for Fear and Loathing Las Vegas. Yeah. He's listing off the inventory of their drugs.
Yeah, we did. We had like a probably between the all of us like a Tupperware container full of weed.
Let me just
all
say,
these pills.
You didn't fill that Super 8 with drugs. You slightly added more drugs to what was already in that Super 8. Yeah,
wasn't there like a blood stain on the wall?
There was a blood stain on the wall, and only my room had one wall that was completely red, and everyone else's room was this color, like a cream color, but I had a red wall, which was obviously to mask something. I don't know what it was.
A slightly redder stain.
So anyway, after we recorded two episodes back to back, and by the way, these were 2-hour episodes.
Fully scripted.
Wow.
Fully scripted.
Wow.
And we did them back to back. So 4 hours of recording with guys who had never fucking broadcasted before in their lives and didn't know what they were doing. There was a bar attached to the hotel, if you remember. It was shitty. So we went down. And there is these girls in there that are just like, how's it going? And we're like, we're recording a podcast. Like, yeah, I don't know what that is. But anyway, what the fuck? That was basically the conversation.
Wow.
And so they came back up with us to our rooms. And by the way, this does not end how you think it's going to end.
Well, it already.
You don't know how I think it's going to end.
I mean, let's recap. You have gotten blitzed out of your mind on a whole bunch of pills and weed and booze. Gone down to a bar that is attached to a Super 8 motel.
Next to a shawarma place.
Picked up whatever floozies are the leftovers of the Super 8 bar next to the shawarma place.
And, like, the fucking door guy knew her at the hotel. Like, hey, Cindy. I'm like, what?
Obviously, yeah. She's, like, the late-shift hooker. She's, yeah. like, the last one you want to pick.
So, anyways.
Door guy. It was an astute janitor.
Oh, and by the way, she had a cocktail glass of the rocks. And she just took it with her like a souvenir cup. She just walked out of it like, yep, keeping this.
Well, those girls were, like, what was left over after the hot
chick
with the messed up little thumbs left. If you remember her.
You guys were hanging out with Megan Fox?
So anyways.
Megan Fox has weird thumbs. Look it up.
Also not hot.
Toe thumbs.
You're right. She could put on 40 or 50 pounds. But
So anyway, one of the girls ends up hanging out with us in some other room. We're all just drinking and smoking and doing whatever. We're not. We all did the math collectively. We're like, nobody here wants to be part of a gangbang. I'm not even going to ask her if she's down for it. I'm not being part of it. So we all just started getting fucked up. Meanwhile, Mike and this other girl were in the room he and I were sharing. So here's what went on in that room. Mike is a straight-laced guy. He's in the Navy. Mm. He's, you know, he wasn't partaking in any of the drugs. But anyway, she's
good
like,
pick for the degenerate podcast.
Yeah, I know, right?
Well, you know, he's a degenerate in his own right, but there's more stories about that. Anyway, apparently while they were in the room together getting busy, she was like, do you have any drugs? He's like, as a matter of fact, I do. And he goes rifling through my bag and finds like a random pill. He's like, this probably is something.
It's Pepcid.
It's, yeah. She got my Prilosec and snorted a line of it. He's like, so anyway, she goes, will you crush this up for me? He's like, oh, yeah, baby, I'm going to crush this up for you. So, he's never done drugs before in his right. life. So he's trying with his ID to crush this pill, like with the flat side. It goes shooting out, bounces off against the wall, hits her in the fucking eye. And she goes, do you know what you're doing? And he goes, I don't. And so she just fucking grabs her friend and leaves because he was not proficient enough at crushing up random pills he found in his friend's bag for her to snort.
Meanwhile, her eye was super high.
Yeah. I think it was an Adderall, too. I found it on the floor and I went, ow. So anyway, then the next day, we had fucking 4 more hours of audio to do and we were fucking beat, dude. We couldn't do any more.
Now, quick question. Where did you come up with we need 2 hours an episode? Was that just random?
Yes. Okay. Yes, it was. It was just like
it was kind of like when they decided they need a dozen people to record.
Half a dozen.
Hey, we had 2 beds to sit on.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we had 2 beds. Yeah, there's still a picture of it and I'll post it with this this episode. There's a picture. Two guys are sitting on one bed, 2 guys are sitting on another bed. I was sitting in a chair between the beds and we were just making it work. Those episodes are still available on Reverb Nation if you want to listen to them.
And we had a very successful system. It was when you want to talk, hold up your finger.
Yeah.
Actually, we use something similar to that on Science Faction.
Science Facts Podcast, yeah.
I am going to disagree with your term, making it work. I am going to question the validity of how you are using that.
And here's the thing. I'd already started kind of amassing a small online following at this point who all tuned in to listen to it.
It's because you used that secret about the internet. Most people at that time.
You laugh.
You
laugh. But so many people do not utilize the fucking internet like they should. Anyway, even my biggest supporters tuned in and like emailed me like, so I listened to your show. Huh. It was not a very positive response.
No comments about, you made it work.
Didn't make it work. And slowly by slowly, the show, like, dropped its members. Julio moved away. And then TV's Mark Francis got a staggering coke problem that made him insufferable to be around, and our friendship fucking ended.
You might hurt his TV career by saying this so loudly.
Here's what's so weird about that guy, TV's Mark Francis, is I made up that persona, that name for him, his character.
Oh, yeah.
I created that character for him. It was essentially his Larry the Cable Guy that I made for him because he had a job at the time.
Like you made up the character Know-It-All Bobby.
Yeah. I've done this to a friend of mine. I did this to Damian Mercado. I have created a whole side character for him, which he hates, called Latino rights activist Damian Mercado, because he's technically Mexican.
What?
Yeah, you wouldn't know it. He is Mexican. His family looks Mexican. Everybody looks Mexican.
His last name is Spanish for market.
Yeah.
I'm racist against him the whole thing.
Yeah, the whole nine yards. But he happens to be like the super lightest skinned Mexican you've ever met. And the entire time,
light skinned Mexicans. Louis C.K. is a Mexican. No one knows that.
We've been best friends since we were 12, and everybody just goes, oh, look at those two little white guys running around. He looks that white that he is just as white as I am to everybody else. He's actually Mexican. And my whole thing is he doesn't speak a word. I speak more Spanish than him, everything. He should start doing this character, Damian Mercado, Latino rights activist. And the whole point was that he's a super proud Latino who only does Latino-based jokes, and they're really hacky and stuff.
Brilliant. I feel like that's...
Dave, can I ask you one thing?
No.
Have you... No. Before you start this, I'm going to cut you off right at the beginning. You're a comedian, yes? Of sorts?
He admitted it. Yes. It's official.
So, have you or have you not said, I only add people on Facebook that I know?
I'm at a point right now where I don't know how I met these people, and it's driving me crazy. I'm like, how the fuck do I know this dude?
Right, but you won't add people that you don't know.
No, because I started doing it because of you. I start getting tagged in Ray-Ban's ads and all this bullshit. And I'm like,
okay, well, if the girl is wearing a string bikini over size E boobs and has no mutual friends and just created her profile yesterday, don't fucking add that one. What are you, simple?
I don't know that already.
No, but apparently not. You're getting tagged in Ray-Ban.
Wait a second. Now there's more than one rule for using the internet. This is getting complicated. Hold on.
Bobby, I feel like use the internet is like if you're starting comedy and someone comes up, hey, have you tried saying those jokes into a microphone?
I want to start pulling people aside, like young comedians. Oh, this is your first open mic? Come here. Listen, I'm going to boost you ahead like 6 to 8 months right now. I don't want you to tell anyone else. You've got specific talent that I've cordoned you off for. This is like a secret in the San Diego
community. Boo! God damn it, boo!
He doesn't want you to find out because it's his secret. But use the internet.
This is...
Boo! Boo this man.
It's okay. You're a hot girl. You can use the internet well.
And apparently we're not done changing over cast members in the Degenerate Podcast. Julio, thanks for coming back. Can you work a soundboard?
Don't think that didn't cross my mind. I'm like, oh, he's bringing the ex-girlfriend today? This might get awkward.
Yeah, Julio, you're the Tinder date from last week. We're the Tinder date from this week.
Also, I don't know, Bobby, if you noticed, but I noticed for sure when he said when he was starting, he was like, I wanted to pick some non-comedy people. I was like, ooh.
Yeah, I know. Sweet
bird. Is that a dig at me and Bobby? Yeah. Have we grossly overestimated our value to this podcast?
Well, you know, actually, that bit me in the ass in a lot of ways, especially when the incarnation of the show, when you were a guest on it, not even a host, when it was me, TV's Mark Francis, and Brett Neese, is they were not comedy guys. I found them funny in their own right. That's why I asked them to be on. But the reason I didn't want comedy guys is because I was afraid of everyone trying to talk over each other.
Right.
I didn't realize that the more professional you are, the more you know not to fucking do that. But the thing is, they wouldn't talk over me. But if we were doing live to tape, we couldn't edit.
Yeah, talking over you, that's the worst fucking thing. And I'm glad that we don't have that problem here.
So,
you know where they don't talk over? The internet.
All right, guys, that's been it this week.
See, if this was the old show, if you pissed me off, I just refused to talk.
Oh, yeah, I remember you told us that you boycotted your own show for one point.
Yeah, because they couldn't edit it. At one point, TV's Mark Francis said, we can do this with fucking out you. And
That's always the dumbest move to do. Why would you even say that? Even if you believe that, why do you say that?
I just crossed my arms, and it was just dead air because they couldn't edit. So he's like, okay, well, anyway.
Also, they couldn't carry the show. They didn't know what to do.
I know. That's the thing. That's why I fucking got silent. He's like, well, anyway, okay. And he realized how hard it is to fill content.
It's super hard. Yeah. It's incredibly
like,
hard.
Oh, you can do what I do? Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, I've thought about this before. I can't do what you do. I think you have the same type of gift that somebody like Carolla does. You can continually fill time with decent, funny content the entire time.
Like the internet.
Yeah, like the internet. I can't do that.
Without somebody talking over you.
When I do...
Because that's really kind of...
www.thesatisfaction.com. when I do Science Faction, I have a bunch of science stories. You know, I run that show, but I have science stories. I'm going through this. This is all very well researched. It takes 6 hours of show prep to do one of those shows. You can do that off the cuff, and that's very difficult. And the fact that somebody thinks like, oh, fuck that, I can do that.
Yeah.
Like, I've been on stage for quite a few years now. I can't do that.
Yeah. I wish I had that audio of him, because eventually he was like, okay, come on, man, I'm sorry. Can you please? I'm like,
I think that was the last one we all did together. Too.
It was the last one we all did together.
That sounds like it would be the last one.
No, before he moved, and then he learned his lesson. No, but the problem was with having non-comedy guys is sometimes, even though I'm able to do this, you sometimes run out of steam.
Yeah,
yeah.
And that's what's great when we have editing. Like, sometimes, even on this show, we're like, shit, what are we talking about next?
And sometimes we get empanadas delivered in the middle of a show.
Absolutely. Kind of derails us.
So, yeah, we're on this show, when I run out of steam, you guys can kind of read me and go,
yeah,
and, like, pick it up for me. If I ran out of steam with those guys with no editing ability on fucking live the tape, it'd just be like...
Well, the first time we filmed or recorded the like after the first day, I remember going to Denny's and everyone just being like, fuck, I don't want another 4 hours of this shit.
Everyone else looked like they had run a marathon and were being asked to run two more.
Oh, God. That's the good thing about the format you came up with for what we use now, though, is we have like a topic guide.
Yeah.
Because your original podcast, everything was scripted,
right,
which is horrible.
Awful.
The reason that I hate most podcasts like Joe Rogan's is it just rambles. There's no structure. And it's just like, Jesus Christ, make a fucking
point.
Dude,
did you hear his episode with James Hetfield from Metallica? They talked about bees, raising bees.
And wine.
For 2 hours almost. I'm not exaggerating. 2 hours. Where? Ask Joe Rogan where he got the 2 hours from. Me. That's who. No, I was the same day that I accidentally forgot about taping and left you guys high and dry. I'm still so fucking sorry about that. But I was doing this project in my garage. I was sanding down a door and I was listening to that. I'm like, God, it's been 2 fucking hours of them talking about bees. And we started this, and this is how I realized I'd missed the show. I'm like, he's been talking about bees for 2 hours. I started this door at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. Oh, my God. What fucking time is it?
Oh, my God. We're going to be out of bees soon.
I ran in. Like, Erin was in the kitchen cleaning. The door nearly misses her skull as I kick it open. Have you heard about the bees?
He runs out of his house like Nick Cage in that shitty Wicker Man remake. The bees, not the bees.
Have you heard about the internet? Last thing is I'm looking for a band to close a show out in Lakeside at the end of the month.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yeah.
Try the internet.
There you are.
You know what I like about this joke? It never gets old. This is going to keep going.
That's your opinion.
Dude, hey, by the way, degenerates out there, from now on, don't let Ryan forget about this. When you see him in person, live show, taping, party, whatever it is, just bring up the internet to him occasionally. Make sure he doesn't forget about it.
Joke's on you, motherfucker. My memory's so bad, I don't remember this episode. I don't know what the fuck they're talking about. Ha, ha, ha,
I don't even remember the internet.
Boo!
I'll be happy to get the reminders. It'll be great for my career.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm looking for this band. And by the way, a lot of bands I can't find because they don't use the fucking internet. Anyway, I keep looking for a band, and we know a lot of bands. I don't know what it is about the last Friday of fucking February. Booked, out of town. One guy can't do it. Like, I've hit every piece of bad luck. I have people contacting me because I put up a big ad like, hey, I need a band to close my show. People will hit me up like, dude, we're super enthusiastic. We don't even need to pay us. We want to do it. All right, February 24th. Shit. One day, that's the one day we can't do it. So anyway, I'm looking for someone to, you know, help me out. So I put it up on Facebook, a general post. Need a band. I'm looking for a specific type of music for this area I'm playing, country rock. It's East County. Rap is not going to work. Your industrial goth metal band is not going to work.
All right, fair enough.
So, you know, I'm like, I'm doing this for them. I'm like, if you don't want bottles thrown at you, fucking fall in. Anyway,
were they gang raping somebody?
Yeah.
I think you're underestimating the Juggalo population of East County.
That's true.
Either way, I'm like, I need traditional rock or country rock. And I put these specifics out there, and you would not believe the amount of people that just ignore your specifics when you're looking for something. This happens in comedy, too. Dave knows.
Yeah, all the time.
When you're like, hey, I need a headliner for Saturday.
Yeah.
You must have at least four years experience and have at least 15 minutes of video you can send me. If you don't have those two things, do not respond. all of a sudden your inbox will flood 39 messages. Hey, man, I just started comedy last week, but you know what? I don't have any video, but I really think I could fill 30 minutes with content.
I've been looking to do an open mic.
This seems like a great idea, a great avenue to sell my Amway products. Yeah, no, it happens all the time. That's number one. It's like, you know what it's like? I used to, when Craigslist first came out and they were using the Casual Encounters out, like everyone had these myths like, oh, you go on Casual Encounters, you just get laid all the time. Not once, by the way. When I was like 22, I was like, dude, all these guys are getting laid. Why shouldn't I be part of the party? Yeah. And I'd put an ad out there and 100% of the time on Men for Women, gay dude, each time, like, hey man, I know you're an only women, but hear me out. I get four or five messages a day. Hey, I know you said you're only looking for chicks, but listen.
This is small enough to look like a clit.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I'll wear a wig.
You're desperate enough to post this on the internet, so maybe you'll...
Yeah, no, that pretty much happened. But anyway, so that's number one. Number two is the amount of people that play grab ass on a post where you're desperately looking for help. You're like, dude, I need this. The guy that hired me to do this, he's getting pissed off. I need a fucking band to close the comedy show. You're like, hey, I think Dave Kellens is a girl band. Hey, what about Metallica? Are they available? Like, you're not being funny. Number one, when people try to be funny or not, it makes me furious. Second of all, I'm at work. I'm getting notifications on this post that I think are for someone that has a solution to my fucking problem. So I run away from my desk, and I go, and I fucking check my phone just to see, I got nothing. But
And then his coworkers back at the desk, they hear from out in the hallway, boo!
Guys, this is the first...
talk over you?
All right, guys, before we go out this week, I got to comment on the fact that we just ate a nice lunch from Benny's on the Go, who's our sponsor this week. Benny's on the Go, it's a Puerto Rican restaurant that is run out of Madhouse while we tape this, so they're kind of like our sister company, so to speak. I just tried, and they're fucking delicious. I tried the chicken and the beef. I will attest to both of those. We have tender slow-roasted pork as well. Triple pork sub for the pork lovers. 619-493-1156.
And I think we're wrapping up. So listeners, find us on the internet.
Yeah, Dave got a new website up for us. TheDegeneratesComedy.com. And Ryan is boycotting the podcast. He doesn't want to talk anymore.
Fuck you, Ryan. I'm going to do this without you.
You guys are jerks.
He's going to throw beer bottles at us.
You know what? Whole next episode, I'm not talking.
Oh, thank God it worked.
All right. I'm Ryan Shores for Dave Callens, Robert Timothy, and Julio Jacobo saying see you next week. Cruising with the twos.
Yeah, I don't know what that is, but anyway, what the fuck?
Ooh, yeah, time passing by. Oh, yeah, time passing by. Ooh, motherfucking time is passing by.
Use the internet.